Chapter 6. "Praise the Lord," Miss Bailey cried. "He's gonna be all right. They're keeping him here for a few days, but they say the bullet just grazed his head and it didn't hit his brain. Praise the Lord, my boy's gonna be all right." Darcy gave Mrs. Bailey a hug, and the woman said, "Thank you both for being here when I needed you so much. My sister's coming over in a few minutes to get us all home. Bless you for all you did tonight. Roiland is mighty lucky to have friends like you at Bluford High. I never knew he had such good friends." Darcy and Hakeem glanced at each other awkwardly.
"Yeah, well, we're just glad Roiland will be okay," Hakeem said.
Gently, Darcy put her arm around Hakeem's shoulders and led him out the hospital exit and into the parking lot where they walked to the silver motorbike.
"Whew," Hakeem said. "What a day. It would have haunted me for the rest of my life if Billy hadn't made it. I don't ever want something like that to happen again. My dad always said only a fool settles stuff with violence, and I was too stupid to understand that until today."
They drove silently down the dark streets towards Darcy's. As they neared her home, Hakeem said,
"You were great tonight. Thanks."
"Sure. Night," Darcy said. Then she kissed Hakeem on the cheek and ran up the walk to the door. Mom was doing the 11-7 shift tonight, so she was home when Darcy went in.
"How was the birthday party, sweetie?" Mom asked.
Darcy sat on the couch near Mom's recliner.
"Mom, everybody's okay, but something awful happened. There was a drive-by shooting, and the picnic got sprayed with bullets," Darcy said.
Mom clasped her hands to her cheek and gasped.
"Lord have mercy! Oh, sweetie, are you sure you're all right? Let me see you, baby. You okay?"
"I'm fine. Roiland Bailey got shot, but he's gonna be okay. They got the guys who did it," Darcy said.
"Oh, baby," Mom sighed, tightly embracing Darcy. "If something happened to you or Jamie, I think I'd die. You hear me, sweetie? You be careful. Hear?"
"Sure, Mom," Darcy said.
She went to Grandma's room then. Grandma was sitting in a chair watching a quiz show on television. Grandma laughed when somebody won something and bounced up and down in glee. She didn't really understand what was going on, and she did not see much beyond people hopping around and screaming, but she seemed to enjoy the spectacle. When the show was over, Grandma talked about her childhood and how she dated Grandpa when they were both teenagers in the hills of Alabama. Darcy loved the stories. She knew every detail of them, but she still enjoyed hearing Grandma talk. About how young Annie, Grandma, was only 14 in braids tied with pink ribbons when she held hands during Sunday services with her boyfriend, who was 16 and 6 feet tall. About how Reverend Timsdale scolded them when he caught them and then winked and said he and Mrs. Timsdale were known to do the same thing when they were teenagers.
"I've sort of got a boyfriend, Grandma," Darcy confided. "His name's Hakeem, and he's really nice."
"Well, you're a wonderful girl, Angel Cake," Grandma told her.
Then her face clouded.
"I wish it wasn't so dark in here so I could see you better."
Darcy almost pointed out that the lights were on, but instead she said, "It's nighttime, Grandma. It'll be brighter in the morning."
"I hope so," Grandma said.
Darcy helped Grandma to bed and sat with her until she fell asleep. Then, with Grandma sleeping, Darcy whispered to her gently,
"Don't you worry, Grandma. You'll never go to a nursing home. Never. It just won't happen. You'll stay right here with us. Nobody's ever gonna take you away from us except God. He's the only one gonna take you away from us, Grandma."
On Monday, everybody at Bluford High was talking about the shooting. Londell James was over 18, so he was being charged as an adult with attempted murder.
"I hope those punks get locked up for so long, they'll be eligible for parole when they're on Social Security," Tara said.
Darcy and Tara had joined a group of students gathered outside the library talking about the shooting. In the crowd, Darcy recognized Brisanna's voice.
"Oh, Hakeem, to think, you might have been killed in that awful shooting. I could just die to think of it. I'm so glad you're okay."
"Yeah," Hakeem said. "Roiland Bailey's gonna be okay too. A bullet grazed his head, but he'll be fine.
Like anybody cares, Brisana replied. Then she added, Oh, by the way, Hakeem, I was telling my dad what a great singer and guitar player you are, and he wondered if you'd like to use my older brother's guitar for your audition. It's practically brand new, and I think it would make your song sound even better.
But what about your brother? Hakeem asked. Does he want some guy he doesn't even know messing with his guitar?
Brisana laughed. Michael has lost his interest in music. His guitar is just sitting there gathering dust. Hakeem, with your talent and this guitar, you're just gonna blow everybody else away at the auditions.
Well, thanks, Brisana, Hakeem said awkwardly.
Maybe you could come over one day after school to pick it up,
Brisana suggested, twirling her hair with her finger.
Sure, I definitely will.
Maybe I could cook something for you to eat while you're there. I'm a great cook.
Hakeem hesitated. Well, okay, that sounds cool.
Darcy watched Hakeem and Brisana from a distance. They did not see her in the crowd of students, but she could see them. Brisana was wearing a pink crop top and really tight jeans. She had a great figure, and Hakeem was checking her out.
He is a normal guy, isn't he? Darcy reasoned.
Of course he would look at a girl like Brisana, but did his eyes have to crawl all over her like that?
Darcy waited until Brisana walked away, and then she joined Hakeem.
Hey, said Hakeem. I heard that Roiland got out of the hospital already. His head is all bandaged, but he's doing okay.
Yeah, Darcy said. They don't keep people in the hospital any longer than they have to. Mom tells me that guys are out of the hospital in a few days even after a serious heart operation.
I'm sure glad Roiland made it out okay. Man, that was close, Hakeem said, shaking his head.
Hey, you free to go out after school today? I thought we'd grab some tacos and go down to the beach, maybe watch the sun go down or something.
Darcy groaned. Oh, that sounds so great, but I can't. Mom is working the early shift, 4 to midnight, and she's got to leave early to do paperwork. The lady who's been helping us out has a bad cold, so she can't come over. I don't want to leave Jamie alone with Grandma.
Well, we'll do it another time, Hakeem said, but he looked disappointed. There'll be plenty of afternoons.
Darcy was miserable as she sat down in English class. She so wanted to go to the beach with Hakeem and watch the sunset. It was the first time he ever suggested doing something that romantic together. If only Miss Harris didn't have that cold so she could sit with Grandma. And then it came over Darcy, like a draft seeping through a crack in the wall you never knew was there. Aunt Charlotte's words came back to her. It's just so hard and unfair that Darcy must be a babysitter and a nurse every day for an old woman. Darcy barely heard any of Mr. Keenan's lecture. She wondered if Tara might possibly be free this afternoon to stay with Grandma. They would pay Tara, of course, like they paid Miss Harris. Hope surged in Darcy's heart. Maybe there was still a chance to watch the sun go down at Hakeem's side. As class ended, Darcy hurried to talk to Tara. In a frantic rush of words, she explained her predicament.
Oh, Tara, if only you could...
Girl, I'm really sorry, Tara cut in. You know I'd do anything for you, but I got me that job down at the donut shop, and if I'm not there right after school, they'll can me in a second.
Oh, Darcy said, I didn't know you were working.
My daddy says to me I better start making some money, cause he ain't paying for no more clothes for me, and if I don't buy my own, I'll have to go to school in my sister's old clothes. You hear what I'm saying? I could end up coming to school in stuff my sister tossed 5 years ago, Tara exclaimed.
All the rest of the day, Darcy grieved for her lost opportunity to have that wonderful date with Hakeem. She hurried home from school, brimming with a resentment she had never felt before. Mom was already at the door in her uniform, twirling her car keys, anxious to leave.
I gotta go, honey. Paperwork is piling up like a mound of snow after a blizzard.
That place is a madhouse. The new administrator is watching us all like a hawk. She's just hoping somebody makes a mistake so she can write them up and get them fired.
It'd help their bottom line if they could fire some experienced nurses and put younger, cheaper nursing assistants in their places.
After Mom left, Darcy tried to put Hakeem out of her mind.
she decided to put the final touches on her astronomy project. She had built a small cardboard model of a human settlement on Mars. She was carefully painting the model's tiny buildings when she heard Grandma yell from her bedroom,
"I'm tired of laying around."
Darcy went into Grandma's room to find her trying to get out of bed by herself. Grandma was in one of her cranky moods.
"I can take care of my own self," she muttered. "I don't need no help. What do you think I am? Been taking care of myself for a lot of years. I don't need no help now."
She almost fell to the floor as she waved Darcy off.
"Grandma, no,"
Darcy said sharply. "Let me bring the walker."
"The walker?"
Grandma grumbled.
"I'd never heard of such a thing. Since when do I need a walker? You trying to make an invalid out of me? When did I ever need a walker? I think it's time I got my own place. I don't need all this fussing over me."
"Grandma, please," Darcy cried as the woman tried to get up, driving Darcy away with flailing arms. Darcy grabbed the walker and brought it close, banging it against the frame of the bed. She was surprised at how angry she was feeling.
"Do what I tell you, Grandma, or you're gonna hurt yourself. You'll fall down."
Grandma's arms continued to flail around and she slapped Darcy's cheek. Darcy rubbed her cheek and tears of frustration gathered in her eyes. Suddenly, Darcy hated everything about the darkened room. The heavy scent of lilac powder, the metal cans of nutrition drink, and the overpowering sense of loss. And she hated having to struggle with Grandma, an old woman striking out against a world she could no longer handle. Darcy wanted to be on the beach, kicking off her shoes and running over the cool sand, her arm linked with Hakim's. She wanted to be sitting beside him while the wind, salt-scented and sharp, whipped her hair and the sunset bathed them in golden light. Darcy felt trapped. It would always be this way, she thought, and sooner or later Hakim would sense it too. She was sure that he would grow tired of waiting for her and that he would become interested in someone else. Someone who was free, attractive, and smart. Someone like Brasanna.